Again, if you've got your Bibles with them, open them again at Corinthians chapter 16. Just as we come to God's Word, we ask for God's help to proclaim His Word to us. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will have free course in our meeting this afternoon. Oh, Heavenly Father, we again thank You for the Word of God to us. We thank You for it has such power. It has such mysteries, Lord. There is so much in it, Lord, that we can't even fathom it ourselves. Oh, the depth and the breadth of Thy Word, Lord. We come now and we ask You for Your help this afternoon. We ask, Lord, as the Word has been proclaimed and meditated upon, that You will help us to receive it, that it may enter every heart that is gathered here. We ask, Lord, that it would penetrate our very being, that it would move us, Lord, to be better servants of Christ, and that it may help us in our life ahead to serve God. We ask it all through Jesus' name. Amen. As we read through, as we read through chapter 16, and this wonderful letter from Paul to the church there at Corinth. Here in chapter 16, he's bringing the chapter to a close, dealing with practical matters, after he has laid out great doctrines right up through to the end of verse 15. He is dealing with matters such as the offering for the needy church. He was telling them to lay aside their offering on the first day of the week and whatever the congregation could give. He also tells them of his future plans, and he hopes that he will be able to come and visit with them. He tells them about his fellow workers, Timotheus, Apollos, and others. And then he gives them advice on how to conduct themselves with others in regard of those who are going to come and be among them. Then he closes the letter with his final salutation. This is the general nature, if you like, of chapter 16. But as he was advising them on practically matters, suddenly he has an outburst of this great exhortation, as if some great concern has come into his mind. And he says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye, be strong. Let all your things be done in charity." Found there in verses 13 and 14. So concerned is he about the church here at Corinth, that he breaks from all the practical things and suddenly brings in this great doctrinal statement. Something has come onto his mind. Some message, some great inspiration. And it tells us, of course, something of the passion and the enthusiasm which Paul has for Christ's church and for his people. It is most important to emphasize the energy which Paul has displayed as a mighty servant of Almighty God. You know, as we look around the church today in our time, I think we would have to admit that what the church lacks today is enthusiasm for the things of God we have come, it seems, apathetic. If we were to compare ourselves, say, any football match with the enthusiasm and the yield that we had found there, we would ought to feel a sense of shame when it comes to enthusiasm broadcast today by the church. That is one of the characteristics of this man of God, Paul. He was full of zeal. He was full of enthusiasm. He wrote to the Corinth, "They call us fools. Well, we are fools for Christ's sake," he wrote. That was not only true of Paul, but it was true of all the other apostles. For they said, "We cannot but speak the things that we have heard." And that is why the apostle suddenly comes out with this great exhortation found in verse 13 and 14. It was because of enthusiasm for the things of God. But that should not surprise us. Spiritual things were always preeminent in the minds of this great apostle. There are similarities between the church at Corinth, when the apostle sent this letter to them, and the church of today. We could ask ourselves, why is it that the church counts for so little in this modern world? The church used to have a position of influence and great power. The church once set the standard by which the nation would live by. Why has that changed? Well, one of the problems in the Corinthian church was that they did not hold to the things which they knew to be true. Instead, one said, "I am of Paul." Another said, "Oh, I am of Apollos." And then another said, "I am of Christ." And while they were bickering over the interests of their religion, they lost hold of the great doctrines in which they had been taught. But the church has always and always will be the body of Christ. It cannot be divided. I wonder if that's our problem today, that we're so concerned about religion that we forget about the gospel. Even while we listen to a sermon, we must ask, to what extent do we really believe that we are members of Christ's body? And not just some loose association of people which are interested in religious things. We must remember that we are part of the mystical body which the Lord acts through here on earth. He brought us as a price. He redeemed us by His precious blood. So not only that we might be saved from the punishment of hell, but that God through each one of us might bring to pass His great plan and His great purpose for this a world here in which we live. Is this not what is happening in our church today? While we're squabbling among ourselves, have we not instead let the forces of evil come in upon us? We see clearly by the great decline in our modern on our morals round about us. In that sense, then, we are like the church at Corinth. We are unaware of the spiritual conflict which the devil and his followers are trying to destroy and frustrate the great plans of God. Well, what are we to do against this? Well, Paul cries out, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity." So as we come to look at our text, it begins with those words, "Watch ye." You know, these words are familiar. We find them throughout the Bible, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ Himself used these words constantly. Sometimes He used them just, "Watch." And other times He would say, "Watch and pray." And when we come to read the epistles, you find that these words are found frequently. In the book of Revelations, we are often told, "Watch." We're often told to observe, to be awake, and so forth. And so it would seem from the frequent use in Scripture that a Christian is always, always to be watchful. Our Lord would never have used these words like these if He did not know the danger that was going to confront His people. You see, today there is a real need for the church to be watchful. Why then is there a need for the Christian to be on guard? Well, the answer to that question is in our text and wherever else it might be found in Scripture. It is that the Christian life is a life of conflict. It is a life of warfare. The idea of this is that we are in a constant battle against evil forces. But in many church circles today, they dislike using these terms. Why do I not know? Because it's taught regularly through the New Testament. Whether we want to accept it or not, we are in constant warfare. This is because we are guilty. We are guilty of watering down the great truths of God's Word. And so we attract and cater for the world around us. All the while we are losing sight of the spiritual conflict between the good and evil, between God and the devil, between heaven and hell, which is characteristic teaching throughout the New Testament. If the New Testament does one thing more than any others, it is to stress that the Christian life is a life of conflict, and we're constantly urged and exhort us to watch. Did not Paul tell us that the Christian life is a life of wrestling? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, as Paul came to the end of his life, he could say that he fought the good fight. Also, Peter warns us that our adversary is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy. For the Christian to set aside these things and not pay attention to the truth that is written down for us in God's Word, then we leave ourselves open to great dangers. That is why the apostle is calling the Christian to be watchful, to be alert. So we ask ourselves then, who is it that has to watch? Well, the answer is quite simple. Before we can be in a position to watch others, we have to watch ourselves. In Scripture, we're exhorted to examine ourselves. And it is a thing that Christians must always do. We are to look and see if we still stand true to God's word, and if we direct our lives by them. Have these things that once held dear to us when we first came to believe and follow the Lord Savior, do they still hold true to us? For some, that may have happened a long time ago. But for others, it may not be that long. Perhaps now do you think as you once did about sin? Do you still think as you once did about the reverence before Almighty God? Do you still think about the holiness? About the Christian message? Why, is it still your regular habit of strengthening yourself through the Word of God? Ask yourself, are you still spending the same time in prayer? Regular attending the Lord's Day services? The prayer meetings? The Christian dealings with others around us? I know that in today's world, life is so full and so active that there's sometimes a tendency to let these things pass and forget about all these important things. You know, one thing the church has become really good at, they have become experts at making excuses about the neglect for these things. So if you put all these things together, what have you got? You've got a lesson of your ability to be effective, to be watchful, and make yourself open to the attractions outside of God's kingdom. When temptation comes to you now, are you able to resist it like you once did? Be watchful of yourself. Watching ourselves, we must also watch the enemy, so of God as well. We must watch the power of the enemy. As we have mentioned, he is described as a roaring lion. Paul reminds us that we are not fighting against flesh and blood, as some people think we are. But we're fighting against principalities, against power, against these rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Don't be fooled. Our enemy is a mighty spiritual force. Paul reminds us in the second letter to the Corinthian church that this that the enemy is described as an angel of light. And he does so that the church might not get sidetracked and draw away from the things that we know about our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that was what happening here in the Corinthian church. They were divided up in their little groups. They were arguing whether they belonged to Paul, Apollos, or Christ. They argued over the meat offering to idols. They were contrasting the various spiritual gifts on which all of this was going on. While all of this was going on, the enemy was using it as a way of getting in and destroying the church there. We must be careful that we do not put too much emphasis on the secondary matters and forgetting the primary business and function of the church is to worship God and to call men and women to repentance and to denounce evil and sin wherever it may be found, to preach the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We are to watch always. Don't let the enemy get a foothold. There's no such thing as spiritual holidays. We are to be on our guard. If we are to stop the enemy from sidetracking the church and trying to destroy it, we must always be watchful. We need something, of course, to enable us to fight the enemy. And one of those things that the Christian has is faith. It tells us there, stand fast in faith. Perhaps that is why the church is the way it is today. Oh, many would try to tell you that because the great influence of the world around us, the world has always been around the church. But it's more than that. We have allowed our faith in Almighty God to wane. You see, the church is failing to stand firm in the faith in which it knows. None of us, of course, can stand firm in the faith unless we've got faith in the first place. The faith is more than just belonging to such and such a denomination or being a member of a certain church. If one just does these things and attempt to live a decent and honest life, we ask, is that really Christianity? Well, Christianity is more than that, and faith is more than that. Faith is a body of doctrine. In faith, we must believe and accept the Word of God as it is written down for us in the Bible. There are some great essential truths about Jesus of Nazareth, and they are beyond a dispute according to the New Testament. This is faith. Jesus is the Son of God. He is God incarnate. He is the substance of God. He came down from heaven. He was born as a baby in Bethlehem. He deliberately went to his death on the cross at Calvary. The Son of God did this to take away the sin of the world on himself. Almighty God, through Christ, was reconciling the world to himself, as we heard this morning. The Lord Jesus was buried and rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, where he sits on the right hand of God. That is what was preached by the apostles. That is what was repeated and emphasized through all the epistles in the New Testament. That is what the doctrines that we are not to give way to. That has been the historic faith of the Christian church right down through the ages. And that is the faith which Paul is telling us here, in which we have to stand. In 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 and 2, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and where ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." You see, the Christian life then is to have a true understanding of all the doctrines of faith. Anyone who goes wrong by these great doctrines of faith will go wrong throughout their Christian life. Our happiness in this world is to depend on them. Of course, doubts will come from time to time. The old enemy will come in and he will attack you and he will tempt you and he will shake your belief. It is at such times as these that we definitely need to stand in the faith. Paul puts it like this in his writing to the church of Ephesus. He tells the Christian to put on the Christian armour, but above all, he says, take the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the adversary. You see, we're called to be steadfast in our belief of the gospel. Stand fast in the faith. Our next thing our text says is, quit ye like men, be strong. You may have noticed the order in which the commands have been put in this verse. First of all, it tells us that we need to be awakened, watch thee. And then it points to faith and told to stand in it. And now we are told to quit ourselves like men and be strong. So to grasp them and to understand them, we must keep them in the order in which Paul has written them to this Corinthian church and to us here this day, so we can know and get the true meaning of it. Quit ye like men, be strong. At first glance, this is a very hard saying. I do not think that Paul is telling us to go out and enroll in the nearest gym, to buy a seasonal ticket, and to build up your muscles and become great, big, strong Christians. Although the words sound very manly, Christianity does not call to be strong and virile. Men and women are called to have strength and courage, but it only shows itself through faith and a belief. That is why the order is in these verses. We are told quit and be strong. We're not told that until we're told to stand fast in the faith. So how do we do this? How do we quit and be strong like men? Well, the meaning is quite clear. It's talking about Christian maturity. Some of those at Corinth had complained. They had complained to Paul that he was only teaching them about the cross and not about the deeper doctrines. Well, Paul's answer to them is that he only could feed them milk because they were behaving like little children. They were acting like little children. Do you remember? They were dividing themselves into little groups. They were falling out over meat offerings to idols. Some were taking offense and complaining. They were questioning the spiritual gifts. Some, they say, had gifts of tongues. Some had gifts of healing, while others had gifts of interpretation. Oh, the whole church was divided. And some were saying to the others, if you don't have this particular gift, well, you're not a Christian at all. And so Paul says to them, quit ye like men and be strong. Stop behaving like little children. Of course, this is still happening today. It's happening in the churches all around us. I would say it is the very same. The church are so busy bickering over the secondary things. Take this little town of Kingston, for example. I don't really know how many churches that are in this community, but there's quite a number. And many of them, if not all of them, have been started by divisions within the church. And the only thing that came out of all that was that they nullified the influence on the usefulness of the church in this community. Is that right? We must ask ourselves. Is that right? When all around us is filled with lost souls, bound for hell, and the church is behaving and quarrelling like little children. Surely the church of the living God has a great message with the people in our day, which they need now more than ever. Quit ye like men and be strong, says Paul. Grow up, men. Grow up like men and not as little children. Well, how do we do that? Well, by studying the Word of God. By equipping ourselves with the Word of God. By searching it. By understanding it. By living it. By contesting it. By claiming it for our very own. That's what helps us to grow up. Paul writes this in Ephesians 4 and 14. That ye henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by seduced men and cunning craftiness, wherein they lie in wait to deceive. You know, one of the saddest things I have seen in, as my time as a Christian, is the way that many churches have gone chasing after movements that have swept through the church. And when that one dies down, then they go chasing after the next movement. Oh, such a selfish thing for churches to be involved in. When so many around us are under the pronunciation of death. We are to quit ourselves like men so that we have a strong grasp of the doctrines of faith with a study and an understanding of the truth of God. So we will not be carried away then by every whim. There is to be no compromise. We are to stand fast in the faith and be strong. And it's only then will we be fit and able to stand against the persecution and temptations when they come upon us. If we are looking for example of this, look no further than our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told that He trod the winepress alone when all the rest of the disciples deserted Him. He stood fast for God. He stood strong. We are to do the same. We come now to verse 14, and it says, let all your things be done with charity. Charity means love. After Paul telling the Corinthians church to watch, to stand fast in the faith, to quit ye like men, be strong, he follows up by telling them of those things. All those things have to be done in love. He wrote elsewhere in Scripture, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Paul was telling them that if they did all those things without doing them in love, they'll be wasting their time. Because of the divisions within the church at Corinth, their spiritual slide was going down, and so he writes to them to put all things right. He said there'd be no point in them starting to evangelize those around them until themselves were put right. Is that not equally true for us today? Is it not so that the essence to the life of the church is that we must love one another? It is only then when we are in a right relationship with one another that we are able to go forward as a church of God? Is Christianity itself not built in love? Does it not tell us God is love? The Lord Jesus Christ was the incarnation of that love towards us. When we are called to do all things in love, we are to do it like Him, our Savior. People knew not of what real love was until Jesus Christ came down into this world to save sinners. It says, love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopes all things, endureth all things. See, Paul also was a great example for us. You remember that the Corinthians, they thought they were at liberty to eat meats that were offered to idols. Paul says, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. He would do without rather than be an offense to his brother. That is being strong and at the same time demonstrating real love. Paul would prepare to suffer wrong in spite of the love for he had for the beloved church of Jesus Christ. And so we are to watch. We are to stand fast in the faith. We are to quit ourselves like men and be strong. And we are to do it all in charity. We are to make sure that we do them with the correct motive. We are to help others and to win others. And above all, we are to bring honor and glory to the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He offered himself up for our sake by the hands of sinful men. He stood fast. He made a good confession in love. He quitted himself like a man. He was strong even to the point of going to the cross. And he did it all for the love of mankind. Is that not real love? Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren. Oh, that's it. That is by and prayer. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words that we got from your word. We thank you for they're there to help us in our walk as Christians. They're there to help us in the time of great adversity. They're there to help us in times of trouble and strife. They're there to help us to live as we ought to live. Help us to stand firm in the things of God. Help us to make our stand and not to move an inch. Help us to be watchful, Lord, at the world around us, that it does not infiltrate our church or our lives. Help us to be always on guard. Help us do it, Lord, without bickering, without quarreling among each other. Help us to do it in the strength that the Lord will give us. And help us do it most of all through love for each other and the love for God's church. We ask, Lord, that you will equip us to do such things, that we may be found in the end, and may it be said of us that we too fought the good fight. O Lord, be with us now as we come to sing your praise again. watch over us.